youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds did not return after the rain, and the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many problems. Verse 10, the preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails, given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just ask for the remainder of this time. Move through this vessel. Open our minds, our ears, our hearts to the further things that you have for us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just as a warning, I can see people getting very anxious about not being able to give. I feel very bad for you for that, but you're going to get your opportunity at the end of the service. We're going to take our offering at the end, and the announcements will come. We'll take care of some business at that time. If you're new here, you heard some people speaking out from the congregation. That is the Holy Spirit speaking. You heard a message given in tongues, then you heard an interpretation of that message, and then you heard a further explanation of what the Holy Spirit was trying to speak to us. We are a church who believes in the move and the operation of the Holy Spirit. You should get giddy and excited when the Spirit moves in such a fashion. God does have an order. And the order in a church service is the word should be encouraging. We got a very encouraging word. The word is not a preaching message that comes from the pulpit, but it's a word from God, and it's a word that we need to hear. So don't be afraid when you hear that word. Rejoice when you hear somebody give a word from the congregation. Last thing is, it's not about you. The word comes from the Holy Spirit, and it is the Spirit. It is a Spirit-driven word. It's not about what we do. It's about what God does through us in all things. Amen? Amen. So, I think it's very appropriate to clap for how the Holy Spirit moved at the beginning of this service. Today's message, the whole duty of man. It could also be a continuation of the message we had last week where we were talking about whether we're under the sun, S-U-N, or under the sun, S-O-N, because those truths will still be challenged here in this message today. But in verse, I'm going to go back one verse to Ecclesiastes 11:8. It says, but if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. We've heard that term vanity probably some 37, 39 times throughout the entire message of Ecclesiastes, and we're coming to the close of this book. Just a little reminder of what's what. Solomon in 2 Chronicles and in the book of Kings tells us that he asked God for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. And God was so blessed by the wisdom request that he also gave him many blessings beyond that. We saw and have seen through his lifetime the acquiring of knowledge and knowledge and knowledge. and sharing wisdom and wisdom and wisdom with people from all over the world, and how that stimulated him to more of that. We saw how his wealth had taken him to places of discomfort. We saw how his power and position didn't fully satisfy him. And now we're coming to the close of it, and he's still using words like vanity. He still uses words like meaningless, empty, unfulfilling. Isaiah 49:4 says, "Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain." This is Isaiah the prophet saying this. But then he goes on to say, "Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord and my work with my God." You cannot stress enough where our eyes should be. Our focus, our attention, our energy, our finances, our talents should be focused on Him and Him first. He's not a secondary God. He doesn't take second place to anything. You heard in the second word given today that He will do His good pleasure. He will accomplish His purposes. And we are to be about His plan, because He's going to accomplish something in His plan. But when we make it about us, when we make it about other things that we put before Him, and I'll call them idols for a moment, because that's what they are, we're in a grave spot. And you know what He will do? He will get our attention. And it took some 40 years, and that's an off-the-hip number, but the length of Solomon's kingdom, to come to this conclusion as he comes to the end of it. But it doesn't come easy for him. Verse 9 says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment." Lies, lies, lies. When we start to walk in the ways of our heart and the sight of our eyes, we are out of order and out of place. When we make it about us and the direction and the way that we walk, and our heart and our eyes are not fixed upon Him, there is no good thing that comes out of it. I'll tell you what, I'll take me back to 18 years old when I was walking in my ways and I was walking in my sight, and I don't have a good story to tell. Neither do most of us. I'm going to get into that in just a little bit. We walk according to what His heart is for us. We walk in the ways that He wants us to walk. I'm talking to believers here. If you're new here, just say, "Wow, it was a great worship service. It felt good to be here." Because these words are for the church today. And the church needs to be challenged as much as in any other time. I'm speaking to myself here. We need to be challenged. We cannot grow to the place of lukewarm. We cannot grow to the place of feeble attempts. We are children of the King. We move in a direction. We move forward. When Pastor Jerry says the best is yet to come, he is talking to a group of people that are moving forward. And you're going to hear the, "Oh, woe is me," as we grow old. But we look forward. The best is yet to come. Because we're moving towards it. Actually, we're moving towards Him. Amen? Okay. So I get a little excited. I'm yelling at me. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, now we're talking about these youth and the struggle that they have. And I'm going to challenge every youth that's in this place. They're probably hiding in the back. "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Flee youthful lusts. Why do we have them? Because we have flesh that we contend with. My flesh can rise up, and I can have the same desires that I had when I was 18. They're waiting, and you'll hear about that in a second. But I can still battle that thing in my life. Job 28:27 says, thank you for this, sister. I appreciate it. "Then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it indeed. He searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from the evil is understanding." We are to depart from evil, flee it. When we pray the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. And lead us not into temptation. So if we pray, God, lead us not into temptation, we don't go running back into temptation. And why do we go running back into temptation? Because we war with our flesh, and my flesh wants to take me there. That's just the pure honesty of the matter. My flesh wants to go to those places. Well, you saw those beautiful baptisms. That was a picture of people who made a decision to crucify their flesh. And I want you to remember that it was young children up there making this commitment. And that can mean lots of things, but it means one thing to me. They made a decision this day to be an example to others in their walk. Are they going to be perfect in it? None of us are. But they made a decision that will come back to bless them, and you'll hear about that in just a little bit. Know this, eternal understanding always trumps temporal desire. If you have your eyes focused on Christ, if I have my eyes focused on Jesus, I tend to forget about the temporal things a little bit more. But I wrestle with it. I got so mad at that Virginia game last night against Purdue. I even slapped the table, the arm of my chin, and said, "Get up and play some defense." And I felt terrible about my attitude about how that came out until I heard Judy Olson, one of the matriarchs of this church, come up to me and say, "Oh," she felt the same thing I felt. Our flesh rises up. But we don't continue in where our flesh takes us. We do have authority over it. We have power over it. We have a Savior over it. We have a Holy Spirit in us that directs us away from it. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Vanity, 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 all is vanity. And he tells us here that our work in the Lord is not in vain. It is not vanity. The work we do in the Lord matters. The work you do in Christ's name matters. Be about his business. When you go to Seattle or wherever it is you're going out there, it's about his business. Every bit of that matters. In Jesus' name, it matters. When people come up and do worship, it matters. We all know it matters. When you hear the word of God, you put it in the notes and you go through it. It matters. When you listen to worship and you're all by yourself, it matters. When you're on your knees praying for your children, your grandchildren, and so on, it matters. When you're in a doctor's office and he begins to pray for you, it matters. It doesn't go unnoticed. Not by a God who sees all and does all. In Jesus' name. I'm going to call the parents out here. Because I'm going to say that we're guilty as parents. I said I'm giving a message to the church. I'm giving a message to the kids of the church. To the teenagers of the church. And as parents and grandparents, if we cannot trust that they can do great things, we're doing them a disservice. So here's the challenge. Believe that your children can do great things. I read a book called Do Hard Things, written by two teenagers. And it brought to light all the things that teenagers would do a mere 80 to 100 years ago. Compared to what they do now, it was sickening to me. We so overprotect our kids that we don't give them a chance to fly. We so cover them and protect them that we don't give them a chance to affect change. Here's my challenge to you. Push your kids, stretch your kids, encourage them, build them up, and watch over them as they go through their process. How come there's no kids part of the worship team? How come there's no kids up here sharing words? Because nobody in here believes they can do it. They can do it back there, but they can't do it here. You know what? They can't do it. You know why? Because we haven't built them up to the place where they can. We have to believe in them, push them, encourage them, and then put them up here. That little guy, the third one, I said, "No, tell me more. Give me a little more." And he said, "Make good choices." I love that. He was scared to death to be up here in the first place. And he says, "Make good choices." It's okay to challenge a kid to higher things and then push them to higher things. Right now, kids... And I'm guilty. I won't let my son, he's 28 years old, ride my riding lawnmower because we have a ditch he might get over and get hurt. I, on the other hand, being the self-athlete that I am, can manage that. Go back 80 years and you got kids 12 years old plowing farm fields. I was telling Pastor Donnie I did that while I was 13. And my dad had me plow a field. It was embarrassing because I'm a Green Acres kind of guy. We didn't know about farming. But I kind of watched what the other farmers did. I got on my Alice Chalmers hand clutch, two bottom plow, and I began to make what's called a dead row. Remember that, Donnie? We were talking about that. And by the way, with farmers, a straight, laser, straight dead row means everything. That was my first one. Well, then I made compensations to try and straighten it out as we go. It was a mess. Then I'd get on the school bus, and every farm kid in the bus knew. He doesn't know what the heck he's doing. And it's true. But you know what my dad did? Okay, now you got to go disc the field. Now you're going to go drag the field. Okay, this is a planter. I want you to do the planting. Oh my goodness, he challenged me. We need to challenge our kids. And everything I'm preaching to us today, and I say us, is for them. There's no excuse. This youthful thing thinking we have a free pass to just... No, God has a purpose in all of this. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So can your children. He can do all things through them, who strengthens them. Some of the best missionaries I've seen come from this church were 14, 15, 17, and 18. When they would get up and speak in front of crowds in Africa, and they would share their story. And some would go beyond and tell them the story and tell about Christ. How's that? But we don't push them to do that. We bubble them up, put them in a safe place. We don't let them face this world. We try to protect them from it. We're too concerned about how good they're doing in the chess tournament, the golf tournament, the basketball, the football. That's where we put all our energies. Are you kidding me? I'm so guilty of this. My kids are all 5'8" and I push basketball on them. I'm an idiot sometimes. But I also got them up preaching God's word. And every one of my kids can come up here and do this and make the same mistakes I'm making. But they'll make the mistakes they because they're going to trust God in it. Youth can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Know that. Number two, spiritual markers. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Oh my goodness, what a statement. I have no pleasure. What's he even saying? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth? He is speaking under the S-U-N sun. He is speaking on this horizontal plane that we've been talking about for a month. And he's going to go into a woe is me mode for a few verses here. But God is doing something here. How about you? Do you ever go back and look at your youth? I'm going to challenge you to do that. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands the intent and the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Solomon is missing a mark here. He had something precious in the early stages of when he was becoming king of Israel. And other things enticed him away, and that happens to us. It happens to me. I get drawn away. I stayed up later than I should have because of a basketball game. Now, there's nothing wrong with a basketball game. I had a blast, because I love the outcome. But that's not the end-all thing. Wealth is not a bad thing. I love the wealth of this church because it goes to doing the work of the church. Thank you, rich people. And forgive us poor people for making fun of you and making jokes about you and saying you're selfish. Because it's wrong. I had a rich guy tell me I should say that. Just kidding. Isaiah 46:8 says, remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my good pleasure. We heard part of that scripture during the transition here. Here's what spiritual markers are. When we remember back to our Creator and we are under the sun, S-O-N, there's a whole different perspective going on here. And I'm going to take you back as I remember the Creator and see if you don't identify with some of these. And they're very simple. It's nothing like heavy duty. Here's what I remember. I remember my first confession. I was born a little Catholic boy, and in about second grade, I had to make a confession, which means I had to memorize the act of contrition. You old Catholics in here know that act of contrition. You probably still say it. Those nuns would whip that at you with chains and no kidding. But I remember going into the confessional and saying, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." The last time I've been to confession, well, this is my first time. And I began to unload my sin. And as a second grade kid, I remember the weight of the sin coming off me, and I break into tears inside the confessional. Wow, what a beautiful memory of a great thing in my history. So when it says, "Remember now your Creator," I remember when I first met Him, and I believe that's when the first real impact on me came at that time. I remember my first communion, everything about it. I remember the taste of the host. I remember the silver platter under my chin, which I would use to tap my friends when I was an altar boy later on. I remember the Father offering it, the priest. And I remember feeling that I do feel God, even as a young kid. I remember Father Baldwin. When I was a young boy, I was sick. And I remember this vividly, and it's amazing because I don't remember things. But I remember Father Ballweber coming into my room because I'd been crying and crying because I was so sick. And I think it was mostly headache at that time, but I was sick. And I remember this old guy. I can remember his fingers were like this long, and they're all crooked and bent. And he puts his hands on my forehead, and he prays for me. I remember my mom and dad standing in the room. I remember when he left, I felt better. Catholic priest prayed for me, and I felt better. I don't know why it's so emotional right now, because it happened over, 55 years ago, probably. And I felt better. And my faith grew that day. So when I remember back at my Creator, my faith grew. Because of what a priest did. Because of what communion did. Because of what confession did. Lord, forgive us for mocking a denomination that sees things differently than us. And know that God is at work there too. In Jesus' name. I remember conversations with my mom and dad about the things of God. I remember how good it felt when my dad would just be going on and on and on, kind of like what I'm doing right now, so don't blame me for this. But the attention I got, and it was all things of God. What was he doing? He was instilling life in me. And I remember my mom. My dad would talk about the religious aspects of things, but my mom talked about the heart of things. And I had a sense as to who Jesus was from my mom. Thank you, Mom. I wish you were here today. She's not dead or anything. She's just in another place. Luxembourg, I think. I remember the first time, as I look back at my Creator and what He was doing, I look back and I remember the first time I saw Sally. I should probably skip over that because I'll be a... But I don't know. And I remember seeing her in college and knowing full well the moment I saw her, there was something different. I've talked about t-shirts and things, but there was something different. And though I wasn't in a place I ought to be at that stage of my life, I knew she was. And I knew there was something good and attractive about that. So I pursued that woman. I lived right above the guy that was dating her at the time. It didn't even bother me, because that was worth it. I remember that service here in this church. Well, I'll back up. I remember when I connected with this woman and I actually married her. I remember that when we had a honeymoon baby, so you get married, you have the honeymoon, then you have the baby. If you're a teenager in here, you can handle this because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I rose up, and all those teachings my dad gave me of religion started to come to the forefront. And we are going to baptize this child and raise it Catholic. I'm saying this to a Pentecostal woman who loves God, who just loves Jesus. And she says, "Okay, but we are going to go to church." In other words, she's holding me to the fire on what the direction was going to be. And then I thought, because of that, I think I can be good to her and go to that Thursday night thing at Interfaith Fellowship. Because, you know, she's doing me a solid. She's letting me raise my kid Catholic. So I started coming here on Thursday, and you've heard the story before. Bob, just about where you're sitting right now, I remember standing up, and the hands went up. I surrendered to God. I'm crying like a school child because God had reached through the garbage and touched my heart. And all the foundation that was laid prior to that came to fruition in terms of I came to salvation. So when I remember my Creator, it's not the negative thing that my body's getting old and I'm dying. When I remember my Creator, it's because God did something in my history. Parents and grandparents, are you doing things in the history of your children and grandchildren that they would have an opportunity, a chance for the Spirit of God to speak and crack through because of what they're going to face in this world? I believe in this church there's much of that. I remember the first time Pastor Jerry believed in me. God, I didn't think this would all be so savvy. And we're at a retreat for youth advisors. And at the retreat, so I remember Joe Seiler being there, and the Tysons were there, I believe. Sally was there, Jerry and Jeannie. And there's a few others. I think Denise Reitmeyer was there. And Jerry says, Mike, I want you to do this devotion. I don't know how to do a devotion. No, you'll be all right. We'll be there. You know, that's the hard part. You'll be there. So I'm going to do this devotion. I remember stumbling and fumbling and not making any sense at all, trying to go deeper than I even knew how to go. I was so embarrassed. But you know what? That was a hard thing. But what was Jerry doing? He was preparing me for something big. Why did Jerry do it? Probably because the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, raise this guy up. Raise this woman up. Raise this person up. Raise your children up to do the same thing that's going to be so hard that they might weep and cry, but you're growing them to another place. And he did that to me. I remember the first time as youth pastor, because it was shortly after that, he said, it's time. I have to go. I have to leave you. I'm called to be the pastor of the church. I'd like you to be the youth pastor. I can't be the youth pastor. I can't do that. That's supposed to be, I can do what I'm doing now. I can shoot a paintball gun. I can play ping pong. I can shoot a basket. I can't do what you're doing. Things? He believed in me. Just like we ought to believe in our children. Push them, encourage them to great things. I remember the first time I had to speak in front of our youth. Oh, man. I think I did a teaching on chocolate cake versus vanilla cake. So embarrassed. But they loved it. They were happy. They wouldn't have known the difference anyway. Because we weren't pushing our kids to know the difference. So we push our kids to know the difference. Is this kind of coming through? Our spiritual markers matter when you're under the SON sun. They matter a whole bunch. They matter for your posterity. For your children and your children's children. They matter. Don't give up on your children. Speak life to your children that your children speak life to your grandchildren. My children are amazing. Because you know what they're doing? They're speaking life to their grandkids. You know what I did? You know what I did yesterday before the basketball games came on? I sat in my lounge chair. That's right, I got one. Leather. Lounge chair. It creaks. And I had all three of them on there, pulling on my ears, sticking things up my nose, and growling. The little redhead bit me. I said, hey, he left crying. But come back later. Why am I doing that? Because I love my grandkids, but I am going to speak life into them at some point. They're going to hear the gospel. And their mother gives them the gospel in all of her creative ways as an educator, speaking life to them. And you know what? I'm going to do them a little differently than my kids. I'm going to push them to harder things when I can. And I'm going to say to my kids, I'm sorry I didn't do this to you, but push them. Put them into the fire a little bit. And keep an eye on them. And be around them so that you can see how they grow. And watch how they just amaze you. In Jesus' name. I wanted to say this to you, that everything God did and does has a purpose when you are under the SON. I'm going to change directions here just a little bit. I think this whole vanity thing, it's disturbing you enough that I want to change the title. And the title of Vanity, Vanity, All Is Vanity, I want to change it. I want something different than vanity for the believer. Purposeful, purpose. Purpose, purpose. All is purpose when you're under Christ. Everything has a purpose. There is no wasted thing with God. He is forever and always doing something. Look back to your Creator and see what God had done in your life. See the path that He's taken you on that came to the place that brought you here in this place today. See the path that He has taken you from that brought you into the ministry that you serve in this church. See the path. And we have CR, we talk, we help people to get to the roots of their path so that they can deal with the road bumps that came along the way, that we can deal with our road bumps that came along the way, that we can get back on that path. And if there was no foundation given, that we help to establish it, and that's what's going on back there. Foundations are happening. People are coming to Christ. They see Him as the healer, as the counselor. What a beautiful thing. We have other ministries that are doing the same thing. But everything has a purpose. Hospital visits have a purpose. Going to the hospital has a purpose. For me to go to see a doctor because I have a respiratory deal serves a purpose. God is doing something. The hard things serve a purpose. God is always doing something with His body, with those that He loves. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Number three. It starts really at verse 2, and God starts to talk about seasons. And He uses a very poetic way to talk about this process that we go through in life. First, it's a seasonal process that gives us an idea, seasonally, of what our life is. I guess I'm in the winter of my life. Except for when I went to the good doctor, he prayed 120 years for me, which puts me right back in the middle of fall. Thank you, Jesus. I must have been a specimen or something, and he gave me those extra 45, 50, 60 years. Thank you for that, Edward. So he uses this thing, and in Ecclesiastes 12:2, it says, "While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain," that's that seasonal picture. But then we move on, and he starts to give us the whole thing of the aging process. In verse 3, it says, "In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, the strong man bows down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim." And you can actually, if you go through the breakdown of what all that means, is he's giving us a picture of our breaking down as people. We're going through an aging process. The arms and the hands that tremble. The legs and the knees and the shoulders that slump over. The teeth are lost its chewing capabilities because you're losing your teeth. These are things that happen to people in old age. And if you're under the S-U-N sign, if you're looking on that horizontal plane, not looking to God, these things cause people to be depressed. They're discouraging. I'm not called to be discouraged. The best is yet to come, right? Move forward. Move towards the best. That's what we're called to do. It's not discouraging. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you have no hair or white hair, you're kind of what we need in this church. Move forward. Don't rest on your laurels and say, "Hey, I've done my thing. It's time for you all to step up." That is the laziest cop-out I've ever heard. And I've heard it a lot. Keep moving forward. Because if you don't move forward, you do die. And you die miserable. Move forward. Get busy. Do something. Because you have the wisdom and you've accrued knowledge, you've experienced. You have to say what needs to be said. I remember the first time my son spoke. And he's good. My oldest son can preach. Man, he brought it. It was over at First Assembly. He's like, boom, boom, like crying, tears. Somebody came up to me, "Yeah, that's good. I really don't want to listen to him. He's got nothing to say." What is he, 22 years old? That hurt for a second. Then the reality of what he said meant a lot. He hasn't had the experience to actually speak to a person with white hair, but white hair speaks. He has something to say. However, you know what he did? He did something. He did a hard thing. They're an example to us sometimes, aren't they? I'm going to keep pushing on the kids thing. It's a big deal. Ecclesiastes 12:4 says, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, you can't even hear people trying to grind food anymore. It's a sad thing for those under the SUN, right? Can't hear the sound of the bird. Well, that's so sad. I like the sound of the bird. Well, I can't hear the sound of the bird. And not only that, they wake me up. And now I'm annoyed by them. I woke up and I heard the birds chirping. It's mostly the cardinals. I love it. Especially in the spring. And I'm glad I can still hear it. But you know what? My hearing is gone. My eyes are gone. When I was in my 40s, all of a sudden I learned that I have short arms. Because I couldn't read. Before that, I thought I was an orangutan. See how we don't get things? My hearing is going. I told Sally, honey, my head's on the pillow on this side. I can't hear you. I'm not ignoring you. Try that line sometime, guys. It'll get you through a tough spot. So I'm laying there and I lift up. What'd you say? Okay. And then she goes on talking again. I said, the ear. Jesus. A little later, in verse 5, it says, one becomes fearful in life. When you get older, you tend to be more fearful. I think of my mother-in-law. She still drives. That scares me. But she won't come to Green Bay because they invented this thing called roundies, roundabouts. And she's afraid of the roundabouts. I get that. She's afraid of the highway where people are cruising at, you know, 85, 90 miles an hour. I get that. You know what? I have lived through fear of heights. When I was young, I didn't fear heights at all. I loved heights. I'd climb up trees. I'd get off of buildings. I remember at Peninsula State Park, they had a tower over a cliff. And you could see all of Ephraim. And you know the tower I'm talking about there. It was beautiful. I remember in high school going up that tower, getting right up to the top and reaching over. And you know what I did? It's amazing how that maintained its integrity through the whole flight from the top to the bottom. And in high school, you're stupid. If there's somebody down there that's an added blessing, what a chance. Oh, we just missed. I went up there before they tore it down, and I was looking up, because when you look up, things are good, right? And I'm looking up, and I get up to the top, and I look over the edge, and I'm not kidding you, my knees went like this. I learned something. Something happens when you get older. I remember working on a roof for Tim Kelly. And there's Pastor Joel. He's carrying 15 bundles, and he's walking on this roof that's like this, and I can't believe it. I got one bundle. Remember, Tyrannosaurus Rex arms. I can't do this. I can only do this. And I'm crawling up the roof like this. Kelly looks at me and says, what are you doing? Get off the roof. I was the happiest guy in the world. Things happen when we get older. We do get afraid. We get scared of things. Things begin to change. And it's okay. Some of it's just good old-fashioned caution. So if you're a driver and don't like roundies, and you're afraid of going fast, please stay off the road. It speaks about the almond tree in verse 5. It blossoms, and the grasshoppers burn, and desire fails. Okay, we talked about the height. We talked about things that cause us to be frightened. The almond tree is a reference to flowers blooming and the gray hair that we have, our crown of glory. It's okay. Remember when they first started coming in? I didn't like it. Now I'm okay with it. My granddaughter saw a picture. Grandpa's got brown hair. That's all she ever knows is this stuff here. The point I want to make about this process that we go through, and Pastor James gave us a really poetic prophecy when he was reading through that scripture about the spinal cord and the gold bowls, and which represents the different parts of our body that function and begin to not function. And we go through this whole thing, we realize that we are aging, and it's okay. Why? Because we're pressing forward. We're moving towards the best is yet to come, and we're moving in a direction that is a godly direction because our eyes are fixed on Him. That's a good thing. We're enjoying things in a different way. I think differently than I used to think. Yeah, I wish I could still do those things. Do you know what it is for somebody under the sun? S-U-N? When they go back on these times, first they're angry that they're breaking down. They become a little more miserable. And when they refer back to their beginnings of their youth, they're talking about what they did in 1977 in the football game against Sturgis Bay. That's right. I made a tackle on the kickoff. Just want y'all to know it. Then his buddy at the bar is saying the same thing. Well, I'll tell you what. Remember, I was on conference. I mean, they go through this nonsense. Because it is vanity when you're under the S-U-N. But when you're under the S-O-N, it's a whole different thing. There's purpose. It has meaning. We have meaning. Don't diminish the meaning that you have because God is in you. And God is about your business. And God is about working through you. Why does he have church? Because in church, he's going to use us to work through and build up each other. That's what God's doing. Why does he have us doing the things he has doing in this church? Because he likes to work through people. Just like when you get older and you see your grandkids shining, or your kids shining, you want to see them work and do good things and affect change. God wants to do that with us. And then it goes to verse 6. I said that. Remember your Creator. Talks about the breaking down of the body. And then in verse 7 it says, then dust you will return to earth as it was, and the Spirit will return to God who gave it. You see, that's the bottom line. As we're coming to a place where we know in our old age that death moves. Whether Edward says I'm going to live to be 120 or not, doesn't matter. Death is coming. I'm 60 years old. Somebody answer that bird. 60 years old. I'm over the hump. My days left are fewer than my days prior. And I'm excited about it. I don't like the idea of my body breaking down, but I love the prospects of where I'm going. I want to still be healthy enough to do things with my grandkids, but you know what? If I don't, God's doing something different. Talk to them. Engage in them. Speak to them. Still speak to your kids. Even though if they disagree with you, they want to hear what you have to say. Even though they don't show it. I'm in a good place because I'm under the S-O-N. My eyes are fixed upon Jesus like we were saying earlier. What a beautiful thing. I know this is sounding redundant, but we need to hear it over and over. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and heart fail. Yes, they do. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all your works. Are you declaring the works of God? We're healthy enough. We have a mouth. We still have enough going that we can declare who he is and what he does. We do it for his benefit, not anything for us. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7 of Genesis 2 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Oh, Jesus. And in verse 8, chapter 12, it says, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. He still hasn't gotten past the idea of vanity and uselessness. And I'm going to go to part 4, and the worship team can come up now. In part 4, he continues with wise sayings and pursuing wisdom from man instead of getting it and focusing it upon Christ. And it says in verse 11, it says, the words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. There is no comfort in these things. The words of the wise are like goads. Goads are like stones, sharp stones at the edge of sticks to prod sheep or goats or cattle in a direction you want them. There's nothing comfortable about that. But the words of God bring peace. They bring life. It's different when you're under the S-O-N sun. He steers and guides us by his Holy Spirit in such a fashion that we desire to be steered and directed. It's a lot different than being prodded and pushed and forced. And I'm really excited to get to this part. And it's Ecclesiastes 12:13. And I believe, and I'm going to come back to what happened at the beginning of the service, when the Spirit of God spoke through Kathy Boncher Warner, when the Spirit of God spoke through Jeannie Bruett, when the Spirit of God spoke through Ralph Luciano, that I think something happens to Solomon that's kind of like that. This is just me talking for my opinion. Continue in your study of it. But I just love this thought. And it says in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. In Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour is his judgment has come. And worship him who made the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the springs of water. And for us who believe, we'll fear God and keep his commands. His command is to love. His command is to love him and love others. His command is to love him and especially love the brothers and sisters in Christ. That's his command. By golly, I think Solomon's getting it, except for I believe it is the Spirit of God speaking through him to accomplish his purpose of God-breathed Scripture that you and I could read it and learn from it today. Just like he spoke at the beginning of the service. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus. Those who aren't under Christ, who don't follow him, Romans 1:25 says, who exchange the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. Creature or created things is what we focused on apart from God. And you miss out. And you're left empty. It is vanity. It is empty. It is heaven. It is lostness. But when it's in him, the best is yet to come. There's purpose. There's joy. There's an eternal consequence that's so wonderful and so beautiful. Because it's with him. It's with the other believers. The other brothers and sisters in Christ. And there is purpose too. Oh my goodness. Gray hair looks kind of good now, doesn't it? I'm going to get there quicker than you. And by the way, no confusion here. We go when God takes us, not before. Amen? Here's what Job said. Well, first, let me give you Ecclesiastes 12:14. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And if I go back to Job 42, it says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. This is scary. This is Job talking to God now. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. And Job said, I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And to me, this is one of the most beautiful things that happens, is when we look to God, and we see our current state, and we bow before him, and he begins to pick us up and lift us up to the state he desires us to be in him. Amen? Amen. In just a little bit, we're going to do the offering. So if the ushers could come forward. And then we're going to do some announcements. I want you to be here for the announcements because they're important for us to hear today. If you don't know this Jesus, you never said, Jesus, I want you to be God in my life. What I want you to do is at the end of the service, I want you to head over to this area and talk to the people there. And say, I'm one of those people that I want Jesus to be God in my life. Can you talk to me about that? Can you pray for me? And I want you to go over there and handle that business then. So you can be thinking about that. But right now, I want to give thanks for all those here in this room that support the work of God. You see the purposes that he has in your life. And it's to grow the kingdom of God. I want you to always be praying for the elders and the pastors of this church that we be about the business of God. And we handle what you give us rightly. That we make it about his business and about nothing else. But let his blessing come upon each of you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Name above.